Well, this morning we're going to go back into our subject, the power of confession. There's so little said about it, really, and it's really taught. Today, a lot of times, listen to ministries, they talk a lot, give a lot of principles and stuff, but you know, it doesn't matter how much you know if you can't put it to work. See, the walk of faith, we talk about that. The Bible tells the just live by faith. Well, your faith walk, a great part of it is your confession, what you're saying. You know, what you believe ain't coming to pass just because you believe it. And see, we need to get into this thing, setting ourselves a course in life, what we're saying. The success of the Christian walk is what we're believing in our heart and we're saying with our mouth. We're walking along and talking it. We're saying those things. You know, understand those things will set your future. If you've come along in your Christian life and you don't like things about where you've ended up out, well, you better check your mouth because your mouth took you there. Mm-hmm. You know, a lot of people don't like things the way they turn out. Well, hold it. What have you been saying? You know, you might be believing a lot of the right things, and even many Christians, it isn't they're saying things wrong, they're saying nothing. So there's nothing for it to come to pass. They're not saying anything. They're not declaring things. You know, the Lord showed me this week about things of concerning myself, of walking in certain things today concerning my health and things, and He was reminding me back about 3 decades ago the things I began to say about my future concerning my health, concerning my thing. I began to say things about what I do. One of the things He reminded me of, you know, I'm out running and stuff. He said, you said when you're 80 years old, you're going to be able to run 3 miles. Mm-hmm. I say that all the time. So because I'd watch people along and they get old. Well, you know, when you get older, you're going to be able to do this. I said, no, this boy, we ain't going there. I'm not traveling. See, I set my future. See, I can do that. And I do that because why? It was set for me to do it. I set that. God didn't set that for my life. God didn't set that. I did. I did it by what I said in my future I'm going to do. And so I just run into my future. Amen. That I set. See, most people, they don't set their future. The only time they believe God is right at the time they need. They pull their faith out when they need something for the time. That's okay, but it ain't good faith. Good faith is having already, I'm going to be healthy down the road. I ain't running into sickness. We ain't going to have to pull that one out.
Amen.
Health's waiting for me.
That's right.
Get into your thinking. You've heard me say this. Faith is about your future. Uh-huh. Faith is about your future. You get in and this walk of faith is setting your future. It's not about just right now. You know, the Lord showed me about my giving when He told me back in 2014. He said, I want you to have money waiting for you. So when you get there, your money's there. You're not all of a sudden trying to believe for it. Mm-hmm. See, we've been taught to do that. Just, when you need it, you get it. I was doing that and God commended me. He said, you're good at it. You and Juan to do really well. When you need money, you know how to bring it in. But He said, that's not my best. Mm-hmm. Well, I was taught that was the best. But I didn't know that till God told me. And He said, no, the best. He said, you have your faith out all the time. You calling money in all the time. He said, you might not need no money right now. Things are really good and going well. You just keep calling money in. You call money in because then when you get down the road, it'll be there waiting for you.
Amen.
And Juan and I started walking in that and it works.
Yes.
Now we have the money. When it comes down, when money comes up to give, we already got the money.
Amen.
We have it. We started calling it in. We started doing it. Hey, don't the world prepare for the future?
Sure.
You know, they're preparing. They want to retire when I'm 50. You know, that's what they want to do. But they're cramming money in accounts to have the money to do. Well, they're planning for a future they want. And then what happens when they get to that future, there's a lot of things fall apart in life. And see, they ain't ready for what the bad things are going to happen in that future. But see, you walk in the Word of God, you can plan a glorious future for yourself.
Amen.
You can do that. Last week, we were talking about really how wonderful God is. This ministry of reconciliation, this gospel we have, is phenomenal. Our gospel tells us how good God is. You know, when people say, well, Jesus loved you so much that He went to the cross. But we don't tell people. They say, well, to forgive your sin. They don't tell Him. He went there that He forgave your sin. God's not holding anything against you. We don't preach that to the sinner.
That's right.
We preach the sinner, you're a scumbag, you need to get saved. And sure, we were scumbags. We needed to get saved. But God wasn't against us. God loved us. Hallelujah. He said, nobody told us God forgave us or said, no, we got to get it forgiven. No, it was forgiven. Hallelujah. He forgave it before I ever asked anything.
Amen.
See, so we need to get over. We got on talking about in Romans, and we want to go back to Romans 10 today. Again, the Lord took me back here. I didn't know we were going to go into this, but the Lord took me back here this week to go back into this. We want to talk about salvation in itself, getting born again. Now, let me say this about this. As we look at Romans, and Romans tells us confession, I want to say this to you about people coming to Christ. You know, this is one of the places that people just jump to when they want to lead a person to Christ. And you need to understand this. If this is all they know, they don't know squat. They don't even hardly have any faith. You understand this? Your faith is going to be challenged. Your faith. And if you don't know much, you're going to be lose really quick because a challenge, you ain't going to have nothing to stand up and fight back with. Mm-hmm. So what we're doing is giving people, this is one of the things that, you know, in ministries, you know, like when I worked at, like with like Rhema and different places and other ministries, they would have, when they would call people up to get saved and that stuff, they would send, they called it a prayer room, but actually it wasn't, it's just a prayer room. They took you there and you went over scriptures with people. Before they made a confession to Christ. Mm-hmm. We don't do that today. You know, we're just the gunslingers. Probably get this. Say, yeah, we did some. And you know what? This is why people don't follow God. They have no faith to do it. We didn't bring them in. Faith comes by hearing the word. And if you haven't told them what the Bible said, and you haven't shown them what scripture said, you ask them, you know, ask Jesus, you know, confess your sin, doing all this kind of stuff. We do things and say it to people. But we don't tell people, you know, Jesus already forgave you your sin. Because if they don't understand that from scripture, this is what's going to happen. They're going to say, well, you know, they accept Christ and this is what they're going to do. They're going to wonder if they're forgiven because they have no basis of faith for it. We never gave them no basis of faith for it. They have to have a basis of faith that when they confess Christ, that it worked, that they're saved. Because people will go by their feelings. And in no time, those individuals, don't be surprised, they're just back doing what they were, living the life they lived before. They're back in there. And we're saying, well, they prayed the sinner's prayer. But were they really in faith? Were they really? Faith comes by hearing the word. We're McDonald's Christianity today. You know, you just put the order in, drive up, and if it ain't out in 2 seconds, you get mad, you know? And you know, they were supposed to have that here and that stuff. And why didn't they have it ready immediately? I mean, I got to sit here for 10 minutes? My God, what's going to happen? This is Christianity today. We want to get people. We don't want to spend any time with people. Yeah, we don't like people, you know. It's like I remember in Rhema, we had Tony Cook was one of our teachers. And Tony said, there's a lot of ministers who love crowds and hate people. Are you one of them? You're a minister. You have the gospel of reconciliation. Do you really want to spend time with people to tell them what the Bible says? You know, we're running in a society where people want, you know, want a quick salvation, a quick go to God and quick this. Christians are all in the quick. They don't want to wait for anything. It takes time. I'm going to tell you, it's going to take time for you to grow up spiritually. And it ain't going to just happen to you because you're saved.
That's right.
It takes time. It takes commitment. It takes things, you know. Do you want a God shingle to hang on your wall? You're going to have to do a lifetime of it, or you don't get a shingle. You don't go to school for a couple of years and then you just get a shingle. There's a lot of people with shingles hanging on the wall, and it's pretty worthless. They're pretty worthless people today. They don't know much about their fields. They don't know much about things. You need to know. This is something we're doing our whole lifetime too. It's this walk of faith. Thank God, you know, I've stuck with it because I'd hate to think I'd have thought I arrived 20 years ago. There's a lot of things I wouldn't know that I know today, that I understand today, that I would not know if I would have walked that kind of life.
Amen.
This is not an arrival. Well, I'm saved and I'm going to heaven. Yeah, by the skin on your teeth and there ain't none there. And if it's skin, it's somebody else's. So we want to walk in the light. We want to look at this because this is important. We want to bring a person to faith because of this. If we're going to go over and look at confessing, The confessing the Lordship is based upon knowledge. It's not based upon, you know, just say this. It's based upon a knowledge. Now, this is a remarkable thing. When we're preaching the gospel to people, we're preaching to dead spiritually people. That's what you're doing. You're dead spiritually. This is amazing because your dead spirit can believe the word of God and transform your life. Your own human spirit, it's dead in sin. But it has the ability to believe God, and you can make a confession from it, and it'll turn you in to a completely new creation.
Praise God.
Amen. See, the human spirit, whether dead or alive, is a powerful thing. It's powerful. The world's heading in its course today because of the power of the spirit. God gave that spirit that's in them. Even though it's dead in sin, it's a powerful thing when it believes stuff and confesses it. Because a dead spirit is how you got born again. Your dead spirit believed the word and you confessed it and it made you into a new creation.
Amen.
People don't teach this kind of stuff. But this is what is happening. You didn't get born again and then you believed. You believed. And then you got born again. So this is why we want to teach people. We want to give them the truth. We want them to have a sound faith coming into this thing. A sound faith. And, you know, it's just like, I'm just like this. If you want to talk to people about prayer, well, you know, I just want to pray the prayer. I don't want to go through it. Well, don't. If you didn't want to listen to, you know, thing to get faith, well, then just forget it. I have no interest.
Amen.
I have no interest in it. Because they don't really have interest in it. You know,
yeah.
You know, I want to be a McDonald's Christian. I'm not interested in McDonald's Christian.
That's right.
There's plenty of dead churches for you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there aren't places where there's life.
Yeah.
God's word's life.
Amen.
And, it's for people who want to be transformed. And if people don't want to be, they want a quick something or other and just, you know, lay your hand on my empty head and, you know, we'll just do whatever, you know, we're not into that.
Amen.
But the word of God is powerful. It is so powerful that it can transform a sinner, can believe these words. This is why we must get words to people, words of God to people to get it into their heart.
Mm-hmm.
Because we have here in Romans, it says this in Romans 10:8. It says, but what does it say? The word is near you, in your mouth and into your heart. Now listen, he's writing to Christians. He's saying this to Christians. This is not written to the sinner. It's written to the Christian. The word is nigh you. It's in your mouth and in your heart. You need to understand the tie between your heart and mouth. This is faith. Faith is not you saying things just from your head. That is not faith. Making a statement about what the Bible says, even though you know it from your head, but it's not really soundly in you. Those words are idle words. They won't produce anything. They're idle. They don't produce. Jesus said, I don't say anything the Father don't say. Why did he say that? Just trying to be nice to Dad? Why? Because in the earth, he understands this. That if he only speaks what God says it's in his heart, that's what produce things. See, this is why many times Christians are not productive. They're not productive. We've gotten away from this thing. To us, it's just about, we're an information society. You've got to be more than that. I'm more an informational. Because my success is based on what I believe in my heart and say with my mouth. There's my success life. It don't succeed just in information. Because my mind can pick up information, but really my heart's not into it. I haven't really got it in me. I got to get it in me. It takes time to get things in you.
Yeah.
And let's say this about getting things in you. What you say has a lot to do with how you're able to get things in you. See, I'm always saying this. I believe quickly. I'm quick to believe.
Amen.
I am quick to believe. I said that from the time I was a young Christian. I'm quick to believe. And sometimes I struggled at believing, but I would not say anything else other than I'm quick to believe.
Mm-hmm.
But see, if you don't talk like this kind of stuff, you're going to find, you're going to struggle in life. You're going to come up, and when you're trying to believe for something, you're going to struggle. Why? Because you've not said anything. See, I'm quick to believe. That's me. I'm quick to believe the Word of God.
Amen.
I don't need to understand it. It's true. It's true. Right away, I just decide it's true because the Bible says it, and that's it.
Amen.
I decide that. So if it is true, then there's something I need to follow. I need revelation understanding about that to follow that. I need that. See, you can talk and say, well, that's true. Well, yeah, and go walk on, you know. They did that back here a couple years ago. They did a survey and said 80% of Americans believe that the Bible is the Word of God. And when I get off after a half an hour laying on the floor laughing, you know, 80% of people in the United States, well, man, I want to meet them. Dear God, I'd like to meet 20%
Amen.
That actually believe the Bible is the Word of God. Please introduce me to them. I'm going to tell you. They say that. That's nothing but a head thing. There's nothing in their heart. If they actually believed that, they'd have probably shut up at the time. You know, this is what I know is there's a good, you know, out of that 80%, probably 60% of them are liars. And that's being kind. like Mike said, you know, Sunday school teacher, you know. Oh my God. Yeah. Let's get my palm red or something. You know, no, you just need a little Paul Bean Hanimer between the eyes to wake you up. Other than that, you know. Oh man. Well, praise God. So the word, where's the word at? Then in saying that, then he says that. That, what is it? This is the word in which we preach. In other words, the preaching word that we have is supposed to be in your heart and in your mouth. That's where it's at.
Amen.
The word that we preach is in your heart and in your mouth. This is the only things that will succeed. And we understand this. We're going to talk here because this principle of getting born again is the principle of faith, and it's in everything. It's not just getting born again. It's in everything. This principle stands for everything. Get that in yourself. This is not just something special for salvation. This is in everything. It's the principle of the mouth and the heart. That's what salvation is about. You get saved through that principle, and everything you walk in, if you have a walk of faith, has to do with your heart and mouth. And if your heart and mouth are not in sync, a lot of time you're not walking by faith. Now we have here, we sing songs, and I realize a lot of time with songs and people mean well, but you know, we sing songs, and one of, you know, the song today, we sing, you know, about God's healing our heart, and this is for Christians. No, He's not. He's not healing our hearts. Now, we got this terminology because we got it from psychology. Psychology counseling got in the church, and it became about inner healing. You don't need inner healing. You don't need that. You have no need. God's not healing my heart. God's renewing my mind.
Amen.
The people, the church needs revived because they get away from the knowledge of God and begin to walk in the flesh. That's why we run into where we need revival. There's a need revival today because majority of Christians live out of their unrenewed minds and in their flesh. So therefore, they are not in good fellowship with God. Anybody who's in good fellowship with God don't need revived. Revival is for the people who are out of breath. I ain't. I'm not out of breath. I don't need revived. Revival is for the out of breath. That's who it is. When a person meets... They're laying there hardly breathing. They need to get cranked up again. You know, like the old Model T, put a crank, turn it, you know, do something for it. Well, they need, what do they need to get back? See, God reviving comes back is when men become, you know, God will do this. He'll start stirring up the hearts of people. He stirs them up to where they start to do something. So they start to look in the right direction. It isn't He's down here. He's not healing their hearts. There was nothing wrong with their heart. It's all about their flesh dominating and ruling them, yeah. Ruling their minds and their thoughts.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
So they get away from God and they say, we need revival. Well, you know, I years back, years ago, I did studies on revivals, on the moving of God in revivals and how they work. And there's just patterns that are just similar through all of them and how they do it. But the need of revival comes every time there's a revival come. People having God starts moving big and everybody's really excited. Then they get over and this is what happens. The people get, well, you know, we really did good. Let's go sit down and rest. And then what happens? After a while, people are out of breath. You don't get out of breath in God's race. You don't get out of breath running. You get out of breath when you don't run.
Amen.
That's how you get out of breath.
Hallelujah.
You see, over the years, I did a lot of running over the years. I used to run 10 miles a day. I used to go out years ago, run 10 miles a day. But you know, I get out there, I can run. As even today, I go out and run 3 miles and I can talk the whole time I'm running and I can talk. It don't hurt. You get into doing it. Mm-hmm. What happens? It's like running a race with God. I don't get out of breath. We get out of breath. You get out of breath because you're out of shape.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah.
See, when I was trying to get back in shape, I first started running again. It's like, oh, man, I ain't been doing this for a while. Mm-hmm. Now, I'm doing like 6 days a week. I run 3 miles a day, and then I walk about a half a mile for a cool-down thing on it. But just doing that, and it's like now I do it, it ain't nothing to it. Mm-hmm. It's nothing to it. It isn't. But it sure didn't feel like that when I started. But see, spiritually, it's the same kinds of things. And you know what? When you're out of breath, it takes work to get it back again. And that's what people... See, when your flesh is dominant, your flesh don't want you to get back with God again.
Amen.
No, because now I got to do something. I'll have to behave myself. And I'll just, you know, it doesn't want to do that. Mm-hmm. This is about bringing the flesh under. It ain't about healing your heart.
Yes. Amen.
That ain't what's going on to nothing. What it's about is getting yourself back again, exercising yourself in righteousness and in holiness. Exercising yourself again in those things. And the flesh, I've learned about flesh. Once the flesh gets used to doing something, you got to yell at it a lot to get it down. You know, when I started going out and running again, my flesh was like, you know, it would be, you don't have to run this far, you know. You can stop and rest me a while. Mm-hmm. And I just say, I don't like you enough to stop. Mm-hmm. That's what you got to do to your flesh. You can't ever treat your flesh nice. Now, you need to treat your flesh like you're a drill sergeant. Mm-hmm. And you don't give those soldiers a break. Mm-hmm. You're toughening them up. You're going to toughen your flesh up.
Mm-hmm.
And it don't, but you know what? It's like my flesh don't complain now. My flesh don't complain to anyone. Because he knows, he don't listen to me anyhow. What talk? But it knows now. You know what? The whole thing is my flesh knows now it can do it. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't, and it isn't, it doesn't feel bad doing it. I don't stop running and go, not at all. I run and when I stop, my breath goes, my breathing goes back to normal. Really quick. Just back to normal. But see, running, now you, and just as a good thing of this, you don't want to run and you can't breathe. That's not a good thing to do. So, you know, I learned a principle of long distance running. You never push yourself past the point where you can't talk while you're running. If you're having trouble talking, you're pushing yourself. You're going too far. You're not in good enough shape to do what you're doing. Slow it down some and get yourself in shape.
Mm-hmm.
But you do that. See, now I can run and I can talk and that stuff don't bother me and that kind of thing. I don't huff and puff. But you get yourself into that and doing it. Well, spiritually, it's the same thing. You can get over, you ain't so huffing and puffing all the time trying to get it hooked up into the things of God if you get yourself over and do it. This is where Christians, they get into trouble and see, they haven't been walking by faith. And now they got a big problem and they're trying to get everybody to pray. They're huffing and puffing, trying to get everybody to pray for me. This is going on, this is happening. And they're trying to do all this stuff, huffing and puffing. See, the person that walks by faith, we got it.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
We got this thing.
Amen. Yeah.
It's the devil's doing this, but I know, hey, I know what I'm doing. I've been confessing my future. I know what's coming to me. See,
Amen.
If you know, it isn't this fear of things going on around you.
Mm-hmm.
See, this is where, is this walk of faith that we have, you won't be huffing and puffing.
Amen.
And this is why we want to bring people into the kingdom, into this. We want them to be able to believe and say with their mouth, they have a confidence to know that they are saved. And this is one of the things, because then it goes on to this, now they tell it. Now we're told specifically, say in verse 9, that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, or Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. So when we bring a person to the place where they're going to make this confession, they have a basis of faith. We want them to have a basis of faith. And we need to tell them, when you do this, you will be saved. Not, well, we're going to ask Jesus to save you. Don't ever do that.
Amen.
Don't ever do that, because now you put a question in the person's mind. Well, what if he don't save me? What if I do it? You know? No, you will be. When you make this confession, you will be saved. Now you have reconciled yourself to God. God's reconciled to you already. This is why He's telling you to come. That they are confident of the fact that they know when I do this, that I will be saved. That's it. See, you gotta get that into people. Because right away, I'm going to tell you, if you don't understand the parable of the sower, and it seems the church don't, when it comes to salvation, we're planting seeds in people, and the first, Satan comes immediately and steals the word that was put in their heart. That's what happens with most people, so-called pray a prayer of faith for Christ. They have nothing in themselves. Nobody ever put enough word in them to do anything. There's no basis for their salvation. You know, like I said, Raymond, they have the prayer thing. You take people in there. You talk to them. You get them over to the break where they're ready to make a confession, and they know this thing's going to work.
Yes.
You want them sound in that.
Mm-hmm.
That they know. Now, I put in the bulletin, the prayer. We're not going to sit and go through all that. But the reason I put that in, the Lord spoke to me. You know what? It would be good if you had made copies of that. And if you lead somebody to Christ, you give that to them.
Yeah.
Lead them through it and hand it to them. Why? Because the devil is going to come along and try to tell them they ain't saved. They need to have something that they look at. And this is what I did this. This is what I did.
Amen.
I did what the Bible said. I learned this many years when I first was a young Christian. I always tell the story. A guy, he's out there. They have a band playing, a Christian band. They're singing. And they tell, well, just ask Jesus to come into your heart. And this guy comes walking over into, they called it the prayer tent. But really, we did less praying than we did more of giving people the word. That's what we did. You know, if you call it a prayer tent, people think some of that sounds more spiritual. No, I'm going to tell you, getting the word is real spiritual. That's real spiritual. Because most prayer don't amount to spit. You know, because it ain't founded in the Word. It ain't there. And so we come in. A guy comes in to me and I'm not forgetting. He's 45 years old. He was a Methodist. Went to a Methodist church. Guy walks into me and says this. He said, they told us out there if we asked Jesus in our heart, he said, you know, we'd be saved. He said, if anything happened to me, I don't know it. I said, come on in and sit down. Well, sure you didn't know. You asked Jesus in your heart. That ain't scriptural to begin with. There's no faith in that. You can look it up in the Bible. Learn this. Kenneth Hagin taught a wonderful thing. Quit using the world and psychology's terminologies. Use Bible words so when people go to the Bible, they can find it and look it up and find it there. They can go and type it in online and it'll tell you right where it's located.
Amen.
Don't give them your idea or your... tell them what the Bible said.
Yes.
Faith comes by hearing the Word of God, not hearing your idea of the Word of God. Why? Because you ain't going to be with them all the time.
That's right.
You know? My words, we turned around and talk a bunch of junk to them and hand them a Bible. And man, it's like a different... Well, where was that they talked about? It ain't in here. Where do I find this stuff? What do I do?
Yes.
See, we bring them in on the Word. You bring them in on the Word. The Word is where faith's at. That's where the power is. The power to keep them is in the Word.
Yes.
It's not in your idea of the Word and you're just saying something off the wall to them. You know, it's in the Word. Get them to the Word.
Mm-hmm.
They need the Word more than they need you.
Amen. Amen.
People need the Word more than they need Ed. If Ed ain't going to go to the Word, well then what's the point? It's the Word. And so we tell them the truth of the Word of God. Lead them in line with that truth. Now, that truth is this. We're confessing with the mouth. The Word is in your heart and in your mouth. And he tells them, Paul's writing them and telling them, the Word that saved you is in your heart and in your mouth. That's what you do to the person you want to get saved.
Mm-hmm.
You get the Word in their heart and on their mouth. That's what we're doing.
Amen.
He goes, you know, you be saved. Now listen, verse 10, for with the heart one believes. So believing, understand this. We're talking about what one believes in their heart. In other words, the Word's where? It's in your heart. The Word in your heart. So, we're talking about believing with the heart. For the heart, one believes unto righteousness. But what with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. I really found, I had not done this before, the word soteria. I never really got into a study because, you know, we go to concordances and they give you these things and there are things that can mean, you know, words. But lots of times they don't give you really a study about the word itself and its usage, actually how they used it in the culture of the day and stuff. And I never realized this, that soteria is sort of a slang word that was used in the Greek. It comes from a word that was used twice in the New Testament. That's it. But soteria is used like 45 times in the New Testament. Soteria was a word that encompassed everything. In other words, everything God did. Not just born. When we look in the Bible and we see the word saved, 99%, even spirit-filled people, right, they think new birth. That's what they're thinking of, new birth. Well, that is part of soteria, but soteria makes up of the wholeness of a man, spirit, soul, and body. It makes up with everything that really that God supplied or did. So whether it is being born again, being filled with the Holy Ghost, whether being healed, whatever, soundness of mind, whatever it is, all that God promises really is in the idea, that's what salvation. So we have here, salvation comes, in other words, healing, deliverance, everything comes from what you believe in your heart, and say with your mouth. It all does. As we go on, we'll look at this. This is why it's so important what we're believing in our heart and what we're saying with our mouth. We need to get tied into stuff. I'm just going to say this to you. And I know the Lord's been talking to me. Not just you folks, but word people anymore don't talk enough of the word and say enough concerning to changing things around them. They're talking about what everybody else is doing. They go to work and whatever thing's going on there and everybody's complaining about and they're talking about those things. You know, I learned with this, when I was at Reese's, I used to talk, I'm blessed here. This is, you know, this is my place. If you don't know God put you in the place you're in, you're alone. See, I know, but one thing is this, God told me to stay at Reese's before. He said, you just go there and you stay there and work. He said, you do it. So this is what I'd say. This is my land of milk and honey.
Amen.
I didn't say, this is the place of all the bad bosses and they're a terrible company. And blah, 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 blah. Didn't do that. You do? You're cursing yourself. You're going to have trouble all the time with them. You're declaring it. You've been saying it.
Amen.
No, I'd say, you know what? My bosses didn't change at all, but Ed did.
Amen.
Ed changed. I say all the time, this is my place of milk and honey. This is where God put me. God must bless me here. I'm in obedience.
Amen. Amen.
I'm obeying God. I belong right where I'm at. Hallelujah. Praise God. I'm blessed. I'm blessed right here in the middle of what I'm doing.
Amen.
And I heard a lot of cursing. But I'm the blessed.
Amen.
I don't care what the... I'm blessed. This is the place. You know, that's what I did when we came to Lebanon. I didn't want to come back. Wanda and I had no intention of coming back to Lebanon. We weren't coming back to Lebanon. We have moved away from Lebanon, and we didn't want to see Lebanon again. I didn't see your faces in a vision, or I probably never came back. I didn't want to, but God sent me here. And you know what? And God told me to start church. I didn't want to start a church. I had no idea to start a church. God asked me what I wanted to do. That would have been the last thing on Ed's mind. That would have been it. But God said to do it. And the first thing I declared, this is my place of milk and honey. God doesn't take care of me here, don't supply my need here. I don't have to follow Him.
Amen.
Whenever I'm in the will of God, I'm blessed.
Amen.
I'm in the will of God. He must see. I talk this to, I've
Lord.
Said this so many times. I've said, you know, this is my land of milk and honey. Now I hear all kind of people. Boy, this Lebanon is hard. I heard more ministers. This is a hard place to minister. Sure, you just keep going there. What they do is wear themselves out. I ain't wearing me out. I don't care how hard the people are. I don't care. I ain't wearing me out for nobody. This is my place of milk and honey. God reveals things. This is the place I am. God will reveal Himself to me. He will do because I went to the land just like Abraham went to the land.
Amen.
Hallelujah. And when I go to the land I belong in, I'm blessed.
Amen.
See, you gotta get your thinking. You gotta get yourself. See, we're talking about this life of faith. We're talking about this believing and confessing. What do you believe? Well, you've been saying what you really believe.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what it does? Messes up your future. Mm-hmm. It messes up your future. See, I ain't going to mess up my future.
Amen.
There's enough demons trying to mess up my future that I don't join the crowd.
Amen.
Now, there is more angels than there are demons. And I'm going to start talking heavenly. See, I'm not going to talk hellishly.
Amen.
I'm going to talk heavenly. Amen. And I get more beings on my side.
Amen.
Because angels hearken to your voice. What have you been saying?
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Woo! Good preaching, good preaching. Hallelujah. We're blessed. So, we need to understand this principle of salvation, this principle, this soteria, the idea of deliverance. All this is in this word and its meaning of what it is. It just incorporates everything to it. You know, for a human being, spirit, soul, and body. Well, if it's so, this is this salvation. See, we need to teach people and tell them the richness of this salvation.
Amen.
The richness of it.
That's right.
You know, many times, you know, people do stuff, you know, this is one thing. You go out and get a person healed, a sinner healed, they'll want to confess Christ real quick, and they might be faithless doing it. Because you're just so happy and thankful. But you still got to get faith in them. Mm-hmm. You must get faith into them. Here's one thing the Lord, you know, said to say. If you're going to go out and reach people, make sure you have a place to send them to. You don't leave them sit out there alone. Do you have a church you can send them to? A place. You know, you don't tell a person, well, find a good church. This shows me a sign you wouldn't know what a good church was either. You would never say that. That's how spiritual development is nothing different than a child. You know, a baby ain't born and the mama gets out of bed and goes home, leaves the baby in the hospital. Well, when it grows up, it'll come home. Don't worry about it. It'll be okay. It'll be all right. You know, once they eat, tell them to put on the Food Network. They'll show them how to make food. That's what we do to sinners. We go out and reach people for Christ and don't tell them, say, you ain't going to survive at this if you don't, you're going to need to get the word in you. Hallelujah. You want to live this good life? You enjoy this healing you got? Well, if you want to have more of it, you're going to have to go a certain direction. You know, we don't tell a drug addict, you know, he turns around and gets all drugged. Hey, you know, just go hang out with the dealers and stuff. It don't matter. Just find, you know, people hang out with you. You'll be all right. You see, people need to understand and we need to guide people what they need to do. See, well, I don't like to tell people what to do. Well, you're an idiot. Mm. What do you mean I don't like to tell them what to do? You think a baby knows what to do? That's why we got all these messed up kids today, because nobody wants to tell anybody what to do.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Well, I'm going to tell you what. I'll tell you what you have to do if you want to succeed. If you don't listen to it, that's your problem. But I'm going to tell you.
Amen.
And you might get upset at it. I tell you, well, that's too bad. You'll get over it, baby.
Amen. Come on.
It just is what it is. Yep. This is what we got. We don't have something else to go to.
Amen.
The church has tried it. That's the mess today. We decided to make a different gospel. A nice little cute, sweet thing that everything, and it didn't work.
Mm-hmm.
It requires work.
Amen.
And it don't change if you don't. It doesn't change. And we need to come down to this thing. What does the Bible say? Go into scriptures and this thing. This is one of the things that we need to do. We're going over to this. I want to go to 1 John, the first chapter, because we're dealing with the fellowship of the Christian. This is one of the things of confession. The importance, the power of confession. See, people get really weird when you go over and you talk about, you know, confessing your sin as a Christian. And, you know, there's groups that they believe that, well, no, this wasn't for the Christian. We need to understand as we're dealing with fellowship, this is not salvation. This confession of sin has nothing to do with the sinner. The sinner can do it. This is about fellowship. If there's anything God wants of you and me, is to be in fellowship with Him.
Amen.
Jesus died on that cross and was raised from the dead for your justification so you could fellowship with God.
Mm-hmm.
And if there's anything God, love is always calling people to fellowship.
Mm-hmm.
This is not about, oh, I messed up, poor old me, this kind of thing. This is about staying in fellowship with God so you can overcome.
Amen.
This is what it's about. It's fellowship. Your victory in life in this faith walk depends on your fellowship with God. Depends on it.
Amen.
Why? Because it's about righteousness. If you walk in unrighteousness and you live in the area of unrighteousness, it breaks fellowship. We need to understand this. Like people say, well, you know, God, He said He'd never leave me nor forsake you. You know, a man or woman you know, can go out here and cheat on their mate. Their mate may not leave them, but they won't have good fellowship. You need to understand this. Wrongdoing breaks fellowship with people in the natural. And it does, it'll also break fellowship with God. What did Jesus say about the guy under the covenant of the law? He said, if you come and you got your sacrifice and you're coming to get it and you know your brother has something against you, you go straighten that out, then come back and give you. When you're doing things of breaking fellowship with people, you're breaking fellowship with God. When we do intentionally do things wrong against people, we need to understand, especially a Christian brother, doing things wrong against your brother, we need to understand this today. People don't bother about making things right or doing other. They don't see any need for it. But it's breaking fellowship. That's what it does. It's just like in the natural with two people. When there's fellowship's broken, there's a problem there, isn't there? There's, you know, and you know, you don't have a closeness anymore, do you? And you know why you don't have closeness? That other person may be willing to forgive, but you won't deal with yourself. Just like with God. God's all willing to fellowship. But you don't. Why? Because your heart has condemned you. You know you're wrong. You can have confidence of faith toward God. You can't have it. You can sit and make all the confessions of faith you want, but when you know on the inside you've been doing wrong, you got to get that straight or you cannot have confidence in your faith. Mm-hmm. It isn't God. It isn't God holding back on your faith. Your faith won't work. Our faith, we get the point, our faith doesn't work. This is what people do. They get to where their faith don't. Look what we have in 1 John, the first chapter. Verse 5 says this, he said, this is the message we have heard from him and declare to you that God is light, in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. It doesn't say you don't have darkness in you, but it says you're walking in it. In other words, you're not walking by faith. You're not walking by what's in your heart and your mouth. You're walking in the flesh is what you're doing. You're doing things that are wrong in the flesh. This is what he's talking about. See, in God, there's no darkness at all. So what happens to us? Now, I know you've never, none of you have ever had that. You miss the mark. You err. And immediately inside, you get this guilt feeling.
Amen.
Now, I know you guys never had that. That was just me. I had that. But I'm going to tell you what, immediately I know this. You don't have confidence toward God. You can't. You can't have your conscience bothering you about something and your faith strong. It will never, ever happen. You can lie and say anything you want, but it ain't true. You know. You can do things that put you in, and nobody else would ever know it. It wasn't toward anybody else. But you know, nobody else knows about what you did. But you do. You can tell, figure, and put on a show like you and God are like this. But I will tell you, if you don't deal with things over time, it'll show up where your faith won't work for you. Say, well, I'm believing God. I'm going, but your faith ain't working. Why? Because your heart ain't in it. Your heart will not go along with you. Your heart. It isn't God. It's your own heart. It's just like if I'd come along to Alan and I would steal something from him, I would never have a confidence to be around him unless we made this thing right. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't have any confidence. I can sit and say all, oh, we're great friends. I can say all I want about that. You know, I can be a liar and do not the truth. You know, mm-hmm. That's right. But see what, I can have no, number one, this, I couldn't have faith toward him. Why? My heart's condemned for what I've done. See, my heart's condemned. We've got to get this straight now. Mm-hmm. It's no different with God. We need to understand. This is about us. This isn't about God. God is, he's willing to forgive. He's willing to fix any of this stuff up. He's in a place. What he's doing, he wants to get you back with fellowship again because you've hurt yourself. You know, you've tried to jam the screwdriver into that thing you shouldn't have and it stuck you in the thumb. It slipped off and hit you. You did that. Wasn't the devil. You knew the whole time you were, I shouldn't be doing this. It passed your mind. Shouldn't be putting so much pressure on this right now. This is not a good thing. But I'm in a hurry. And I don't want to go get that tool. I'm talking experience.
Amen. Amen.
See, that's, but see, we're doing this. We do these things. We injure ourselves. And this is about fixing the injuries we do to ourselves. God is in the redemption business. Always.
Amen.
It's about redeeming you, getting you back on your feet again. Why? So you can walk by faith. He wants your faith working. People who hold off and get about it, that's why these people, it is a diabolical, demonic thing. They're going up, writing these books about Christians don't have to ask God to forgive them of sin. They're already forgiven. I'm going to tell you what, that is a severely devilish and evil thing that they're doing. Because what happens? We got entire churches that aren't in fellowship with God. America is filled with Laodicean churches. Unrepentant Christians where God is standing at the door knocking. You can't fellowship. He wants to come in and fellowship. The fact, you know, you and I, we wouldn't even stand at the door and knock. We'd go to another church. But God stands at the door. I want to get in fellowship with you again. I want to come back in fellowship. He's knocking at the door. He wants to get back in fellowship. That's his nature. It's what he is. He'll just keep doing that. That's what he does. He'll just keep trying to get back in fellowship with you again. Mm-hmm. He didn't break the fellowship. See, we make it as the idea this was his thing. Well, I ain't hanging out with them. He wants to hang out with us dearly. Mm-hmm. He wants to fellowship with us. When you were an ugly sinner, he reconciled himself to you. Why on earth? See, this is what I found out as a kid and went to church. They made a great God when it came to salvation. But once you got saved, he got the whip out. And now he ain't near as nice now. He ain't, boy, he's after you. He's taking notes on you, you scoundrel. See, you know, we're the kids. I found this. God changed from the children's ministry to the adult ministry. They lied to the kids, said he was good. Got him out with adults. You found out he wasn't that good. That's right. Bunch of liars. That's why when I got saved, I went back to the children's ministry. I ministered to kids. The message was better. God was good. We've turned people into adults and God ain't near as good. No, God's great. It's just we get to be adults. We get to be idiots. We believe the wrong things about him. God is good. It's like with him. So if we walk, it says, verse 6, if we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as he's in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth's not in us. Now don't pull that scripture out to itself. I've heard more ministers pull that stuff. Well, all of us sin and we all miss the mark. He's not saying that. And I'll prove to you he's not saying that. Not everybody's in sin. People say, well, we sin all the time. Well, then I'll tell a minister right to his face. He said, we all sin all the time. I'd say, well, then you ain't saved. When I got saved, I didn't sin all the time.
Amen.
Even as a young Christian, I didn't sin all the time. He said, we sin all the time. The only people that sin all the time are sinners. We sin all the time. Dear God. See, we got all this thing. You know, this is one of the things that I went through and I got fed up as a young Christian, this stupid stuff. Well, people say, you can't pray enough. And I just say to people, you mean God made a system I can't work? It won't work? I can't do it? If I can't pray enough? He made a system that I can't make work. You can't do this enough or do that. I always say to him, what planet are you on? See, we got this nutty Christianity. You got to be able to do things enough to get the blessing of to walk in the blessing of God. If you can't, what's the point? Are we wasting our time on this? Well, a lot of Christianity seems to think so. You can't pray enough. I can't. God made a system of prayer life that we can't do it. You know what? These things sound spiritual because we are full. The American church and television church is filled with cliches, filled with things said that have no meaning or value. They're not measured against anything. They get one scripture and they make a stupid statement. You know, get scripture after scripture after scripture. Then come up with what God's saying. You know, the whole thing. Well, you just can't pray enough. You know, as I was told, a guy, you know, to start the church was a guy, and he'd come out of seminary. It was actually a cemetery. But anyhow, he said to me one time, you know, you got to, every sermon he said you preach, you know, you got to spend, I forget how many hours of study. It was this huge thing. Well, see, he didn't believe God in giving you messages. You're working this thing. You're just trying to figure it out. And I said to him, I said, well, that ain't gonna, I said, you know, when I'm on the mission field, I said, I can teach, preach 3-4 times a day. I said, sorry, there ain't enough hours in the day for me to preach if I listen to you. I said, where did you ever get that in the word? I said, I don't find that the disciples were, but see, people do, they come up with these ideas. Here, what it does, this does, see, I spent 12 hours putting this sermon together. So you see how important I am? See, I went, this brilliant sermon, it came from me. And you know what? His sermons came from him.
Yeah, for sure.
I'll tell you what. I have more sermons than I could ever preach. I've heard God give me more revelations on stuff, and I got more notes on stuff and different things on stuff. But you know what? And I'll come get up on Sunday and everything I've written and taken a note on, God went someplace else. And I just, well, you're either going to walk with faith. I got to walk with faith. Isn't this something? I'm going to have to trust God. Boy, this is an awful thing. Is it going to this? We're having to trust God this morning? Oh, my God, I can't trust my notebook anymore. What on earth are we going to do? But, Lord, they're good notes. They're really good. Hallelujah. See, but he'll walk along and make you walk by faith. This is where we're at. We're in this place. But see, we have all these religious ideas and these religious things. You know, when I was at Rhema, they took us through, you know, how to make sermons, you know. I always thought it was really funny. I never met one Rhema person that taught there ever used it. They tell us, you know, how to set a sermon up and preach it, and they didn't do it. Brother Hagin never did it. This says there are some good principles, there are things, and there are, but you know what? You get overled by the Spirit. Where God might go and what He might do, you don't know. I don't, you know. So, it isn't there's things you can't learn. There's one thing, you do want to be a studier of the Word.
Amen.
You know, I'm going to open my mouth and God will fill it. Well, I'm sorry, if you ain't been reading the Bible and studying it, you'll get something coming out of your mouth and another spirit may have put it there, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Make sure you get the Word in you. You might have something God can bring to you to say.
Mm-hmm.
See, you want to do. But what I want you to see here, because what he said, verse 9. Look at what he says this. He says, then if we confess our sin, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Now, he's not talking about, now you need to understand this. You're not unrighteous. You're not the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. It's what you did. See, your act is unrighteous to you. That's why you got condemned. That's why you feel like, oh boy, I messed this up. See, you don't feel righteous. You have no sense of righteousness. Your faith won't work. See, our faith works because of righteousness. We need to preach more on that. They used to, years ago, preach much more about righteousness. Righteousness is huge. Righteousness is your ability to believe you're right with God. That's what righteousness, I'm right with God.
Amen.
See, if I sin, I don't feel I'm right with God. See, that's me. It isn't about God. I'm as righteous from the standpoint of being born again, but my conscience. See, this is one thing explained. You need to learn when you ask Jesus Christ or God to forgive you. Now, number one, actually, we shouldn't say we don't ask Him to forgive us. We're confessing what we did wrong. Tell Him what you did wrong.
Mm-hmm.
That's what we confess. It's going like to the court of law. You know, you go to the court of law.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're going to... You confess, if you're going to confess, you confess what you did. You don't walk in and say, Judge, just forgive me. Well, what did you do? You know, if you walked into a court, you'd walk in and say, Judge, you did something wrong, never told nobody about it. Would you please forgive me? What would they think? Well, what's wrong? Well, what'd you do? First of all, they're going to find out what you did. I've heard people say, well, God knows what I did, but He didn't tell you that. Follow the Word. The Word says, that word confess there is used in that term, is the idea of admitting. Admit what you did. Say, yeah, Lord, I did rob that bank. You know, forgive me for robbing bank. No, Lord, just forgive me. No, what did you do wrong? See, you need to get that unrighteous thing. Admit what you did. Do you know, there's great power in admitting when you did something wrong. There's great power in that. There's great power in it not admitting it, because that power will rule over you.
Mm-hmm.
Now, but you need to do this. Now, he said he cleanses you from all unrighteousness. If you walk away from that spot and you're still feeling guilty, you haven't acted in faith in the Word. You should have no sense of unrighteousness. If you still have the sense of unrighteousness, you're not walking by faith. The major problem that Christians have with sin is they never walk in light of the Word and forgive themselves. No, if the Lord said, I'm cleansed of that unrighteousness, I should never be bringing, I should throw it out of my thought life ever when it tries to come.
Amen.
I should say, hey, hold it. No, devil, you ain't bringing that thing back to me. No, if you need to, go back. I confess my sin and he cleansed me from my unrighteousness.
Yes.
My unrighteous act is not just something get it out of your mind. Get it out of your mind. When your thought, if you get a thought on it, you should think right away, I'm cleansed of that. Hallelujah, God. That's not held against me. My faith works. See, your faith won't work as long as you feel you're unrighteous. That's why you got to deal with this. As long as you feel you're unrighteous, your faith will not work. See, God does this not because he just don't want to get around you and out of it. No, God's doing this because he wants you around him. And as long as you feel condemned, you won't hang out with him. You won't. You don't go call the guy you've been doing something against. You call him and you want to hang out with him.
Yep. Amen.
I think the way it works. You got to get that cleared up so you can hang out together. But see, you got to clear it out with him. You know, just like God, if you have a person says they forgive you, well, you should just walk back in fellowship again. Yeah, that's what you do. See, if somebody tells me, you know, they said something, I forgive them for it. Hey, we're in fellowship again. That's it.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yes.
We're back in fellowship again. And see, God's better men. Hallelujah. And see, you need to get this in yourself. See, these areas, we pumped the thing about us, about people making a mistake. We didn't pump about the idea of the forgiveness of God and you forgiving yourself. We haven't done it. And what the purpose of it is. Because as long as you feel unrighteous, your faith ain't working.
That's right. Yeah.
Righteousness is required for your faith to work. You have to know that you're right before God, that you couldn't. You got to know this. I can come boldly to the throne of grace to receive mercy and to find grace. See, that scripture ought to be one of your top scriptures. See, if I miss it, I can just run right to God.
Amen.
Because there's mercy there. See, he's going to take care. He's going to give me grace. So he ain't holding it against me. What am I holding it against me for?
Mm-hmm.
Why am I holding it against me? More Christians have more problems in that area of why they don't get healed. It's their own problem. They think it has to do with God. They think it has to. No, it's not. They won't forgive. They won't say, hey, okay. Hey, God forgave me. I'm done.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I remember talking to my dad because, you know, he wasn't, raised up under the teaching that I had the benefit of sitting under. But, you know, the whole thing of it is, I remember him talking about his, and I explained to him from a scriptural standpoint, and he got the light on it. But see, he was like I was. I was a drunk. My dad was a drunk. In fact, he was 30 years old when he got saved, and I was, you know. But my dad was a drunk, and he, you know, drank all the time. And he talked about certain things in his body. He said, well, you go through, he said, I did things that hurt my body and all that kind of stuff. And so he was sort of justifying the fact, you know, you have certain problems in your life. And I said, hey, hold it. I said, and he felt, you know, he felt from the standpoint of this was God, you know, does this stuff. And I said, hold it. I said, God didn't clear up your sin problem? He didn't do that? So in other words, he's still judging you for your sin. So this thing ain't as far as the east is from the west, is it? Didn't get that far. Only went around the corner. Well, you know, it's still been hanging out there. My iniquity of my past is still hanging on there. You know, I can't really have this healing. And I explained to him, healing's yours. You don't have to put up with this stuff. You don't have to deal with this stuff. This isn't God. How can you be redeemed from the curse of the law, but yet the curse is allowed to still hang on you? Look at what the curse is. The curse is basically, read it, it's almost all natural stuff. It's all natural things. Bad stuff happening in the natural. There's a lot of bad stuff in the earth, but don't let yourself be flypaper. Remember the old days, flypaper, they'd put it up? That's right. Everything stuck to them. You know, they used to have ones that would see you pull those things out, they'd hang them up. You got it on your hand, you're trying to get that thing, and then you're doing it stuck on this end. Trying to get that thing off. Flypaper. Well, that's Christianity. They all thought they were flypaper. Everything comes along and sticks to you. You know, you get saved and it is, no, we ain't flypaper. I'm like Trump. I'm Teflon. Everything slides off. That's the way God made it. God made it that this junk in this world, I can walk through it and the junk slides off of me.
Amen. Thank you, Jesus.
That's His plan. You need to be that about forgiving yourself. You forgive yourself. You let that let that thing of your, you know, wrongdoing, let that slide off of you. You confess it. You admit it. Go on.
Mm-hmm.
Don't let that thing ever come back and stick to you again. Don't you do that.
Mm-hmm.
You don't allow it. You want to walk in the light. And this is one of the things you do is by your confession. If you're having problems with it, then pull the scripture out and confess it. And as often as you need to do it, confess what the scripture says. Say it with your mouth. I'm forgiven. God's not holding anything. My faith works.
Amen.
See, we don't say those things. We try to mentally put up with the battle. You can't do it. You cannot mentally defeat Satan. Impossible. You can't mentally. We defeat him with the words of our mouth. We did our confessions of faith. How we do it. You take the word. Those thoughts come to you. Don't let, what do you do? Get the word out.
Mm-hmm.
Just like I said, take a sinner. You give him that prayer. He comes along. He wonders, even say, do you get this out? You read it every day.
Mm-hmm.
That you're so sure that you're saved. That you can't get moved off this thing. You get yourself so sure. See, people aren't doing, this is why people have trouble with the areas of healing and everything else. We have no confidence in these things. We're making confessions and trying to say things and do things, but we're not sound in the word. We're not sound. Pull the Bible out. Look, this is what God said about my health. Here's what He said.
Amen.
Jesus took my infirmities and He bore my sicknesses. That's what Jesus can't lie. If I have a faith problem, it's an Ed problem. It's not a God problem.
Amen.
The word says that I'm healed.
Amen.
See, identify. I will tell you, you keep saying the right things. Like over there, I've run into people come and say, well, I don't know if I'm saved. Well, I tell you, we'll say, well, no, you don't know if you're saved. You said you don't know.
Mm-hmm.
Your mouth, you're producing what you're saying.
Right.
What's the Bible say? Did you get born again? Did you guess Jesus the Lord? Yeah. Oh, you say that a lot, don't you? You talk that all the time. Now you're always running around. I don't know if I'm saved. You're having exactly what you say. And people like get startled like it's something. Woo! Who'd have thought that?
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't love my mate anymore. I don't love my mate anymore. I'm not in love with her anymore. I don't love her.
Mm-hmm.
See, well, yeah, well, I don't have love anymore for her. Well, I said it didn't. Shouldn't surprise me. We know this, that, well then, you keep all right. This is why people can't love sinners. Christians can't love sinners because they never confess they'd love a sinner. We're mad at all of them. They're doing things I don't like. Those ugly heathens. Don't they know that I'm just so good and I always was good. I was just born this way. I was just, you know, I'm so righteous and holy. I was never annoying. Oh, Lord have mercy. See, we need to get ourselves. We need to understand the power of where we're walking at. Now, I want to finish. In verse 10 there in 1 John says, if we say that we have not sinned, in other words, that we did, we make him a liar and his word's not in us. Now look at chapter 2 there, because I want you to see this. Who's he writing to? And this is the Christians. He says, my little children, these things I have written to you so that you may not sin. See, understand this. The power of this thing. Now listen. This is what is when the church just breaks scriptures out all the time and don't read context. They don't see the power. Lots of times there's a lot of good. Listen to what he said here. I wrote this. The reason I wrote this is you don't sin. In other words, the words that he wrote have the power to keep us out of sin.
Mm-hmm.
And we've terrified the church with them like, oh, I'm just no good and I gotta read it. No. You understand this thing, it'll keep you out of sin.
Amen.
It keeps us out of sin. This isn't condemnation. Mm-hmm. This isn't a condemnation message. This is a message of staying in fellowship with. If you understand this thing, you won't want to break fellowship with God. You might live a holy life. Wow! Whoa! That's strange. Because he said, now look, then he goes, he says this. Now if anyone does sin, who's he writing to? My little children. He's writing to Christians. This is great. If anyone does sin, what? We have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. So if you miss it, hey, you got an advocate. Jesus will stand for you with God. Don't worry about it. You got the best, an advocate is what we call a lawyer. I'll tell you what, I have a lawyer and he always convinces Dad that I'm innocent.
Amen.
I got the best lawyer in town. You ain't ever had a better lawyer than I got. My lawyer's the best. Hallelujah. He said, Dad, he admitted it. He don't deserve nothing. Give him a reward. Hallelujah. You know what Dad says? Anything you want, Jesus. Hallelujah. Because that guy looks just like you. Oh yeah. Hallelujah. You see, this is not kind of, we didn't get on, they don't get on preaching. They join us. And people don't see the greatness of the grace written in this stuff. It's phenomenal.
Amen.
It is phenomenal. Amen. I mean, this stuff is as good as that their grace message I talked about last week. This God just has this thing where he's not at war with anybody anymore. He's done forgiving everybody. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, see, he didn't change when you accept him. He ain't a different guy.
Amen.
You have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And this is what he goes on in verse 2. And he himself is the propitiation for our sins. Now the propitiation word means just this. And I don't know why they just don't translate it this way. I don't know why they keep doing it. It just means a sin offering. He was our sin offering. He became my sin offering so I don't have to be put to death for my sins. He became a sin offering. Now he says he's the propitiation for our sins. And not only for ours, but also for the world. See, the same forgiveness that you got coming in the world keeps just running on. It don't stop. God's not your enemy. Hallelujah. Reconciliation. You miss it, and what do you have? Reconciliation didn't stop at getting born again. Reconciliation is where we live. Reconciliation. God and I aren't enemies. Hallelujah. He likes, even when I blow it, all he says I have to do, just admit you did wrong. Just admit what you did wrong. That's it. And we just go on in fellowship. Your faith works. You get blessed. I get to bless you. See, God is in the blessing business. If anything he wants to do, when I was a young Christian, that's what the Lord spoke to me one day. He said to me, he said the big thing, he said, I want to bless my people. He said, I love to bless my people. That's what I want to do. But he said, my people also won't let me bless them. They won't let. He said, that's what I want to do. It's, you know, because we get it in this idea. So a lot of people see God as just this judge. You know, they go over and look in the, you know, they have the God of Revelation, in the book of Revelation, you know, dealing with the Antichrist, and the church identifies himself with the Antichrist. God's trying to blow us up, burn us up, whatever else. We're the church. That's not our God. That's not ours. That's, you know, the Antichrist and his bunch are in trouble.
Yes.
But I'm not. No. Hallelujah. I'm dead to sin.
Amen.
Them folks is alive to sin and they want to stay there. But not Ed Gibson. Hallelujah.
Yeah.
I'm not under the curse.
That's right.
I'm under the blessing. And as he always wants to do, he wants Ed blessed. He said, Ed, I have all these blessings for you. Now all you have to do is take whatever one you want. What do you want? What do you want out of here? This is what? This is, you can have it all. Here it is. See, this is about this story is about maintaining faith. Because faith maintains fellowship with God, and as long as you're righteous before God, you can ask for anything, and He'll give it to you.
Anything. Amen.
The righteous can have anything. We won't go to scriptures today, but we're going to talk about this eventually. The righteous can have anything. And if we don't get blessed, go look at the mirror and you'll find the person who's your problem. Yeah, I've had to go there a few times to look at that guy. I said, who invited him here? I mean, my God. How come he keeps showing up? Glory to God. But see, there's one thing I know. No matter what, how I walk or what happens, God is always desires to walk in fellowship and blesses me. That is His goal. God's goal is not judgment. He would never give him the, message of reconciliation. His goal is reconciliation with all man. How it must break the heart of God when people leave this earth and they wouldn't reconcile themselves to Him. You know, we don't have an idea of that. When people go off to eternity lost, God's look at the facts of, I've reached out so far. I reached out as far as anything could go to reach to have them, that they could be blessed. So we want to live and walk in the light of this. Hallelujah. So we go to, I hope you get a different picture of these things at 1 John. But there's one thing is we can find in this whole thing. It's all about what's in your heart and what you're saying with your mouth. See, all this stuff, this confession of sin, it's about what's in your heart. Let your heart dominate you. Your heart will say, just admit what you did. Yes. You know what? You can't change it till you say it.
Yeah.
In your heart and in your mouth. See, the most powerful thing you have, is your heart. If we will tie our mouths to our heart, how far can we go? Oh, my. The blessing of God. Absolutely phenomenal. How far you can go. Not saying any of this is a criticism. I'll tell you, I pray today it's revelation as you see the power of this thing. Hallelujah. When the Word says that all things are possible to him that believe, it's only possible if you can guard your mouth and heart. But it's all, everything is possible. But if you can guard your heart and mouth. You take care of your heart with the right things in it, and you guard yourself saying the right things, speaking the right things, speaking the things that you want rather than the things that you have.
Yeah.
The Bible says you can have what you say, and the Christians just run around talking what they have.
Mm-hmm.
No. The Bible says things about us, and you need to get yourself and make yourself confessions about yourself concerning the Word. About your spiritual growth, your spiritual development. You want to arrive to a higher place, you're not going to go there just sitting around. If you're not saying the right things about your development and growth, hallelujah. You need to say the right things. You need to say the right things about your spiritual development, your spiritual growth. Hallelujah. You know, like me, I was saying, I'm quick to believe the Word. That's me. I'm quick to believe the Word. God gives me revelation. Revelation comes to me easily. Said that over the years, and I'm going to tell you what, I get more revelation. I get more things. I don't even, you know what, this is no lie. Most of the times, I'm not even asking God about any questions about things, and just stuff starts coming to me. All of a sudden, scriptures will start rising up in me, and I'm like, oh, wow, I never saw it that way before. And I go get my Bible and find, my God, there it is. That's it. I'm not even running around asking for stuff. Why? Because, you know, I'm quick to believe. I'm quick to believe the Word of God. Revelation comes to me easily. I don't struggle to hear from God. It is in my nature to be able to hear my own human spirit. That's within my nature. God developed me that way. God didn't develop me that my flesh was going to be my most noisy thing and keep me from hearing my spirit. No. We were born again so we could have predominance again in our spirit. Then that's what I have. That's what I declare about me. My spirit is predominant in me, not my flesh. My spirit is predominant. That's why I got born again. Because why? My flesh is dead. You know, a dead man, you know, did you ever go to a funeral? Is there a troublemaker in that coffin just keeps doing stuff or? Dead people don't do much, do they?
No,
they don't do much. See, how you talk about your flesh? Is it the big ruler? If it is. See, it's why we struggle in all kinds of things. This is one thing is, you know, if I learn. If I want to prepare to do something in my flesh and change the direction, I always take time. I don't go, well, I'm going to do this. Right? No, I take my time, set myself a course and start talking. this is where I'm going and this is what I'm going to do. See, I get hooked up with the inner man. I don't, and you know what? I find this out. By doing this over the years, I've learned it. Is this. My flesh isn't giving me as hard a time. Because I've already taken dominance by my words or setting a course. That's what you want to do. Why? This believing in your heart and confessing with your mouth is a powerful, hugely, hugely powerful. And the church hardly knows anything about it. Thank God the things that we were taught. But today, they're not teaching enough on these things with people so they know the power that's in this thing. This isn't some nice little, well, let's go say a sinner's prayer. We treat it like it's this cute little thing. This is the power of God unto salvation. This is the transformation of a human being from being dominated and under the thumb of the devil to become a child of God, full of the glory of God.
That's right.
I mean, a sinner's prayer. What a sick thing we do. See, you believe these words and you say them, your life's a change. You're going to start going from glory to glory. You don't preach where they're going to end up or where they're going to. Don't be surprised they ain't looking for it.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
That's right.
Why would somebody be looking for something they don't know nothing about? But we don't preach the glory that's in this thing. Well, you're just going to preach a nice little sinner's prayer and Jesus is going to forgive you of your sin. Ain't this a nice? We didn't tell them. So what? They didn't expect much. So they don't expect much. They don't live much.
Mm-hmm.
Glory to God.
Amen.
Let's preach a supernatural message.
Amen.
Let's preach an outrageous message.
Amen.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Praise God.
Hallelujah. I'll just say this to you. If you don't preach that kind of message, if you preach a message that's on the top, the devil's going to want to kill you. I'm just going to tell you. This is why the devil don't kill most Christians because they don't say enough to hurt anything. But I noticed this about Paul and them. Whenever they went places and they preached a powerful message, the devil wanted to kill them.
Mm-hmm.
If you ain't getting persecution, you ain't preaching a message. It ain't a good one.
Amen.
It ain't a good one.
Because
the devil knows when the power of the gospel is preached,
yes,
it's going to change things.
Mm-hmm.
He don't care how many little sinner's prayers goes around.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
That's right.
Hallelujah. It's the ones that change people's lives.
Amen.
That's what he'll stand up against.
That's
we
right.
don't want it.
Every mm-hmm. time. Yeah.
It's good preaching.
Amen. Great preaching.
We have power to take to people.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Because why? You have power and I have power in us. We ought to light the fuse every once in a while.
Amen.
Yes.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Glory to God. Let's stand to our feet. Hallelujah. Well, I did preach me happy today.
Hallelujah.
Glory to God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Why? Because the Word's wonderful.
Amen.
There's nothing that excites me more than the Word of God. I can tell you, I don't really do a study in anything else. I just, you know, people ask, well, what do you know? I say, well, I know things are in here, but basically that's, you know, outside of that. I know a few things here and a few things there, but I want to tell you what. This thing I love.
Amen.
This thing speaks to me, that excites me, that I look at it and I see things. I can see myself of what I could never see of myself without this book.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Nobody was ever depressed who ever really
That's
looked
right.
in this book.
That's right.
Because these words are the power of God into salvation. People say, well, I'm reading it. No, you're not really looking in it. If you're depressed, you ain't paying no attention to this thing. You're just sitting down and reading a novel or something. You just, you know, you might as well do that. This book is to be eaten.
Amen.
This book, man doesn't live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of
Amen.
God.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah.
No matter how, I'm going to tell you, my life ain't sustained of what I eat or whether I exercise. What is working in me,
mm-hmm.
hallelujah, is the same Perfect spirit Lord. That raised Jesus Christ from the dead.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. And I can do what I do at my age because of what is in me.
Amen.
And it ain't, you know, free range chicken. It's not, it's the same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead.
Hallelujah. Thank you.
It quickens and makes alive this mortal body. This body responds to the Holy Spirit in it. The power of the Holy Spirit is working where my body actually comes to the place where it likes the things that God wants to do.
Amen.
Amen.
That's right.
Amen. You can train your body. But you need to start believing what is in you and quit trying to get something in you.
Amen.
Yes.
Amen.
If you have the Holy Spirit in you and you need something else, there's something wrong with your head.
Amen.
You can't read words or understand them or something. You got what you need on the inside
Amen.
Of you.
Mm-hmm.
The greatest teacher there ever was.
Yes.
The same power that raised Jesus from the dead. If that can't keep the curse off of you, what on earth's going to work?
Hallelujah.
Glory
Amen.
To God. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Praise God. Hallelujah. See, get it in your mind what's working in you today concerning health in your body. You know, how do you speak about your body? How do you talk about your body toward the future? What are you saying?
Mm-hmm.
What are you saying about yourself? See, you know, speak yourself a future of health. Start speaking those things. I don't care. Well, I'm believing God. I don't care you say you're believing God. What are you believing? What's on your mouth?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Don't tell a person you believe. Tell them what you believe.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
When you say to a person, well, I'm trusting God. Well, for what? For a truck to run over you today? Is that, well, I don't know. Don't. What would we know if you don't tell us? What would you know if you don't? There's many people say, I'm trusting God, and I'll tell you this. I've had it happen hundreds of times. I ask the person, what are you believing for? And they couldn't even give you a scripture. Because why? We have our good generic Christian talk. I'm believing God. Well, how do you believe? Well, I believe one day God's going to take care of me. Well, forget it. He's already trying to take care of you, but you fool, you won't jump on board with it. No. Someday. Well, you'll be saying the same thing and saying the same thing and nothing ever changes.
That's right.
Hallelujah. Tell people what you believe you receive, what you got from God. See, a testimony is telling about what God did.
Mm-hmm.
Let me tell you this about Smith Wigglesworth wrote about a woman who was his meetings. It was a young woman. She had a very large goiter and, that used to happen a lot years ago and stuff because of lack of iodine and stuff. And people, she had this enormous goiter. She came to one of his meetings and she said to him, she said, when you lay hands on me, I'm going to be healed. And he laid his hands on her and the goiter didn't go away and she went on. But she just kept praising and thanking God that she was, I'm healed. Hallelujah. She would go around telling everybody she's healed. And see, and all the Christians looked at her like she's a lunatic, but they didn't know that they were the lunatics because they would look at her. And she went on. Now, she didn't do that for a little time. The next year, she came to Smith Wigglesworth's meetings at this place again where he was. And she asked to go up and give a testimony. Naturally, that goiter stood up. She didn't believe it. She stood up in front of everybody. She said, I want to thank God. Last year, I was at this meeting, and Smith Wigglesworth laid his hands on me, and I was healed of this goiter.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I can tell you what the Christians were thinking. Uh-huh. All these people... They don't have a daughter because they're lucky the devil didn't get to them yet. Because
mm-hmm.
it ain't because of their faith, because they don't know a thing about it.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
So she's going on. Now, the following year, again, she comes. She's telling everybody how she's so thankful that God healed her in this way.
Mm-hmm.
She's just so thankful she's healed.
Amen.
She has not, you know, and Smith's what we're talking about. This, she's just as happy as crazy. You just as happy as could be because
mm-hmm.
God healed her. And so, some Christians got annoyed. Because, you know, you're going around saying, well, that looks worse than it did before. And she just smiled and didn't say nothing to him. So she went home that night and she said, Lord, I just want to thank you that you healed me. I just appreciate it so much that you healed me. And you know, she said, I know you healed me, but why don't you show it for their sake? And you know what? She got up the next morning, it was gone.
Amen.
Because, you know, she said, show it for their... See, it didn't bother. She's the one, she had the faith the whole time. And she had to have faith for those idiots too.
Amen.
Who thought they were faith people.
Mm.
She's got the poor faith. People don't know about that. People don't realize a lot of times, you know, walking by faith. I've walked by faith with things, and that's for a long time. The only reason I don't say something to Christians, because I know this. They get into unbelief in 10 seconds.
Mm-hmm.
They'll be working against you in 10 seconds, you know.
Because
they don't know nothing about standing. They don't know nothing about this faith of believing God. They don't know a thing about it. And they wonder why things don't work. With faith and patience, you inherit the promise.
Mm-hmm.
You see, that woman, she had what she said. Yes. And she said she wouldn't change what she said. She had real faith.
Amen.
You know, if you always have to have something instant so you can believe, you ain't got no faith. You don't know nothing about faith. Instantaneous, I've had instantaneous stuff, I've had things, but I had stuff it hasn't.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to talk about that because these areas, your voice is going to set your course. Even about what you say concerning other people and about them because you don't understand. It's going to set your course. See, we need to understand these things. This power. It's like I say, always say, it's like handing a baby a handgun. It's loaded. Our heart and our mouth is like that handgun. And people been pulling the trigger and bullets have been coming out of their mouth they didn't want. But it's been shooting everything around them.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
And I don't know why is this happening. I don't understand. I do.
Mm-hmm.
Hallelujah. This is power. Well, it's like think power. What is it power is used right?
Amen.
It's a blessing.
Hallelujah.
That's right.
Electric can kill you, but electric sure does bless us on a lot of things, don't it?
Amen.
Hallelujah. That same power can be a curse or can be a blessing.
Mm-hmm.
Well, to us, understand the power that you have. You're not trying to get this power. You already got it. You had it from the day you were born as a sinner. Your spirit could produce things by your mouth.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we have this God spirit, this spirit, this new one that's made. You put the seeds of the word into it.
Mm.
This thing can do stuff that is phenomenal. It can bring God's will and purpose to place in the earth and in your life.
Amen.
Hallelujah. It's a powerful thing. Don't touch the live wires. Don't run around saying things and sitting around and cursing yourself. People turn around and say, I remember I went through the things a Christian when I first got to be a Christian. Tell them about, you have a family curse on your life. I say, no, I don't have a family curse. I got you to hanging around. You're my curse. I don't have a family curse. I'm in God's family.
Hallelujah.
There is no family
Amen.
Curses. Israel, under the law, the prophet said, how can you curse the blessed? You know the only way he could get it at Israel? He couldn't curse them. It wouldn't help. He got them to go against them own selves.
Mm-hmm.
That's how he did it. He got them to break the law. He got them to do wrong. He got them into sin. You know what? The devil can't curse Ed.
That's right.
The
That's
only
right.
person that can curse Ed is Ed.
Mm-hmm.
My mouth can be my curse.
Mm-hmm.
The devil can't curse me. You can't curse the blessed.
Amen.
Mm-hmm.
If they couldn't do it under the law, it's a total impossibility to do it in the new covenant.
Right.
It's totally impossible. I have no curse on me. Hallelujah. The devil's wasting his time if he sends somebody along and says, they're going to put a curse on me.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, please write me a letter. Give me a laugh of what you're going to say. Don't be surprised it returns on you.
Amen.
Don't be surprised what your words will fall on you.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Because see, I'm the blessed. That's what I am. See, I've seen Christians get all say, well, you know, they said I have a family curse. They used to go through this thing about having family curses and that stuff. And the reason I'm having my problems, my family curse. No, it's because of what you believe and what you're saying is why you're
mm-hmm.
cursed. You have agreed that you're cursed. So go ahead. Have a big time. See, there's a lot of crazy stuff goes on out here.
Amen.
But don't you get on. Because I'm just going to tell you this. The move of God gets rolling along here, and I'm telling you what's going to happen. All this stuff is going to come back, and people are going to start talking it again. It always does. You always get a lot of crazies in the Christian groups. Don't let it bother you. There's always nuts and flakes. We have granola Christians all over the place. Fruits, nuts, and flakes. They are here, but you don't pay no attention to these things. These things will come back. They've come back in every move of God. You always get flaky stuff starts back. Always does.
Amen.
But I'm going to tell you, just stay with the truth. I don't pay no attention
Amen.
To them. Let people say what they want, do what they want. Hallelujah. And they'll tell you, well, who do you think you are? I'm a child of God. I'm
Amen.
Righteous. That's who I am.
Amen.
Who do I think? See, I don't think I am. I know it.
I know I am.
I know I is. I know what I am. Hallelujah. And I know fools when I see them. I know fools when I hear them. You know the word. You don't have to study other religions or find out. You know the word. You'll know what things are. Don't ever get into that bit reading about other religions and getting into their stuff. Don't be surprised you end up messed up with it.
Amen.
You put wrong words into you of
yes,
things.
Right.
Those books, this isn't something natural. These are other, there are demons behind these other religions. And you don't think that they're, that there's demons aren't behind their words?
Yep.
You sit down and study them and sit down and look at them. I don't look at them. I don't, I know the Bible and I can tell the devil when he's coming and when he's going. You know the word, you can pick a phony out like that.
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
Amen.
Just get talking the word. You'll find out whether they got something or not. You'll know.
Mm-hmm.
Hallelujah. It's the truth that makes men free.
Hallelujah.
It's not false religions give you the information you need to minister to people.
Yep. That's right.
Mm-hmm. You know, they say, well, Paul talked to, he went to Rome and talked about the, you know, the gods there. Let me say this. He didn't preach to them about the God. He said, I know the unknown God, the one you don't, you guys said don't know his name. I know his name. He preached Christ to them. He didn't preach to them about their gods.
Mm-hmm.
See, I'm going to tell you who that God is. You don't know. Well, we know you don't know him or you wouldn't have those other gods.
Yeah. Amen.
Hallelujah. See, you need to preach to people. Tell them about it, that you know God.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
I know God and you know what? I'll show you. I'll introduce you to my God. You know him too.
Amen. Amen.
But I know God. I'm not trying to know God. I know God.
Hallelujah.
I got born again. He lives in me.
Amen.
If he lives in you and you don't know him, good chance he ain't living in you.
Mm-hmm.
You know? My wife lives in my house. I know her.
Mm-hmm.
How could you have somebody living in you and you don't know him? Glory to God. That's a hard one.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Father, I just want to thank you this morning. I thank you for this, Lord. The good work that you've started in them today, you're bringing it into completion.
Amen.
Lord, they're not lacking for any good thing.
Amen.
You have supplied and opened to them all that they would ever need, want, or desire.
Amen.
You have laid it out for them in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. You, Lord God, have worked in them and made them into complete new creations, fashioned into your design, into your will, into your purpose. Lord God, and then you put your great Holy Spirit within them, the great teacher, the one who guides and leads into truth, the one who takes Jesus and reveals it to them. Having the Holy Spirit in them is identical to having Jesus Christ himself living inside of them. Lord God, they're alive temples of God, wholly set apart for God's work and God's purpose. That's who they are. Hallelujah. And I thank you, Lord God. You are fulfilling your will in them and through them in Jesus' name. You're working mightily. Hallelujah. You have not held back in any manner. You're not withholding any good thing from them. Hallelujah. Heaven is open completely to them for knowledge, understanding, comprehension, and power. And so we thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. That you are working mightily in them. Hallelujah. Lord God, but we're going from a supernatural glory to supernatural glory. From one great step in the glory of God to another great step. Hallelujah. That your power, Lord God, is working mightily in us and through us in the name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. And Father, I thank you the words of our gospel is so powerful. Hallelujah. Lord God, and it destroys strongholds. It tears the bars and gates down of Satan. Hell cannot stand against the words of this great gospel. It obliterates all chains in the name of Jesus. And those words are words given to us, and when we speak them, Lord God, power goes forth to break down Satan's hold on men and women, and Lord God, they will call on the name of the Lord and be saved. Hallelujah. Lord God, we will preach your gospel and it will go forth and fall upon ears who are ready to hear and ready to receive in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. People will be glad and shout. Hallelujah. They will be glad for the goodness and the mercy of God upon the lips of the saints speaking to them. Hallelujah. Those words will become alive to them. Hallelujah. And will transform their lives into glory. And we thank you for it, Father, in the name of Jesus Christ. Thank you for doing your great work in us. Thank you. It is a continual work that is getting greater and greater. That Jesus Christ is glorified more and more in us every day. In Jesus' name, amen.